Hi, everybody. I'm Alan, and we're back to the Vox Pop, and today is Poetry Day. That's poetry if you went to a public college, and poetry if you went to a private college. So I don't know how you guys are going to pronounce it, but if you were an English major and your parents spent a fortune on your education, you involve yourself in poetry, then you would want to call today and show off. Let us know what you've learned. Because if you haven't, if you don't, then what good was it all? Okay, so we offer our poetry panel to Vox Pop. They're here to offer you their own poetry favorites. Plus, we're asking you to join us in the poetry potluck and call in with published poems from poems if you went to a public college, from a known author that speak to you. Again, we welcome your favorite short published poems. The number to reach us at, and they have to be short and they have to be published. I fit both of those categories. Not for poetry, though. The number to reach us at is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. But before we get to the phones, I want to introduce our guests. Tom Francis, that's Thom Francis, has been hosting open mics and poetry spoken word events for over 12 years as a poet and performer. Tom has been featured at many of the upstate poetry and spoken word events from Saratoga to Woodstock. And Rebecca Shumeja is author of several poetry collections, including Cadillac Men, Falling Forward, and The Map of Our Garden. Mary Panza has been a mainstay in the Albany poetry scene since 1988. She's the host of Poets Speak Loud, a popular monthly open mic night in Albany. All of you listening can call in with your favorite short poems published by a known author. Remember, we're not reading... Oh, now it says, remember, we're not reading our own poems. We are reading the works of others. I'm just following instructions here. Should we change that, or is that okay with you guys?
It sounds great.
That sounds great. Okay. Call now, 1-800-348-2551. But before you do, I want a poem from each of you. Mary, maybe we could start with you.
Okay. I'm going to be reading a poem by E.E. Cummings.
Did you go to a private or public college?
I went to a public college, and then I quit.
And how did they pronounce the word poem there?
Poem.
A poem. Okay. Go ahead.
I carry your heart with me. I carry it in my heart. I am never without it. Anywhere I go, you go, my dear. And whatever is done by only me is your doing, my darling. I fear no fate, for you are my fate, my sweet. I want no world, for beautiful you are my world, my true. And it's you are whatever a moon has always meant, and whatever a sun will always sing is you. Here's the deepest secret nobody knows. Here's the root of the root and the bud of the bud and the sky of a tree called life, which grows higher than soul can hope or mind can hide. And this is the wonder that keeps the stars apart. I carry your heart. I carry it in my heart.
That's lovely. Why did you write that?
It's just a very subtle, beautiful poem.
Is it yours?
No, it's E.E. Cummings.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, yeah. That's E.E. Cummings. Oh, so I'm reading, not that subtle.
So you're reading somebody else's poetry. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder why he wrote it. Okay. Let's go to Rebecca Shumeda, who is the author of several poetry collections. Rebecca, who are you reading today?
I'm going to read Ginger Andrews. She's a poet who writes very simplistically. And I picked this poem because it's called Poetry.
Oh, did you go to a public or private college?
I went to San Francisco State University, so public.
Public, and yep. they said poem as opposed to poem?
Poem.
Okay, go ahead.
Poetry.
I'm getting dirty looks from all around the room. Okay.
Poetry. After 15 years of marriage, you'd think you would know what thrills me, I say, as we pass a Barnes & Noble. If you want me to pretend that I'm half as jazzed to look at that new Dodge Dakota as I am to finger the spines of new poetry, fine. Let's talk V6 versus V8. Let's talk extended cab, dual carbs, lift kits, and slotted versus the honeycomb grill. Let's talk 4x4, off-road, cruise control, traction, chrome, and color options, black, white, the new deep blue. You ask me if I want you to turn around. I say no.
Hey, that's it?
That's it. That's Ginger Andrews. She's amazing.
She is amazing. That's very good. Very good. Thank you for that. And Thomas?
Thomas, I am going to read a poem called Interior by Spencer Reese, who is a, his whole book is about, it's called The Clerk's Tale, and he's an assistant manager at Brooks Brothers, and he's all about working in a store, the whole book. So this is called Interior. The jewelry shop is a small stage. The very rich enter and exit like actors in a Beckett play. The salesman fills the bowl of nuts. The bell rings. The door opens. He smiles. He will not be grim. He walks. He talks of rubies, pearls, and clasps. The day roars, speeds past him, splinters light apricot shards that fleck the man's cheeks. The phone before him persists. On his desk, with brass handles, a framed photo of Princess Diana, who used to wear these jewels. Each day there is new traffic. It's hard to recall who is who. The old single female manager coughs in spasms, steals sales, ruminates over her childless state, and orders the salesman around. Each day he forgives her anew. As the light leaves the window, he surveys all the silver objects he will soon be asked to polish. The tired man forgets and remembers in equal proportions as he drinks his last cup of bitter black coffee.
That's great, Tom. Now, how do you think that lady felt about being identified in his poem?
Well, since he didn't use a name, hopefully she didn't know. But if she's the bossy boss that he's writing about, I'm sure she was very proud to be part of such a collection.
Even though she was dissed, you think?
Well, some people just like the mention. There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Well, all right. We're going to hear from some of our listeners. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Let's start with Matt from North Adams. Now, let me get the rules straight here. We're reading other people's poems.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, and here we go to Matt in North Adams. Matt, you're on.
Oh, hey. Thanks, guys. So I've got a poem. Give me one second. I have a poem from Pablo Neruda, his collection, 20 Stories of Love and One Song of Despair.
And the other thing is, in addition to keeping your phone close to your lips, number one, so we can hear you.
Okay.
That's better. Number two, keep it short, okay? Because these have to be fairly short poems, all right?
Okay. The poem is, Tonight I Can Write.
Okay.
Tonight I can write the saddest lines. Write, for example, the night is shattered and blue stars shiver in the distance. The night wind revolves in the sky and sings. Tonight I can write the saddest lines. I loved her, and sometimes she loved me too. Through nights like this one, I held her in my arms. I kissed her again and again under the endless sky. She loved me, and sometimes I loved her too. How can one have not have loved her great still eyes? Tonight I can write the saddest lines, to think that I do not have her, to feel that I have lost her, to hear the immense night, still more immense without her, and the verse falls to the snow like dew to the pasture. What does it matter that my love could not keep her? The night is shattered, and she is not with me. This is all. In the distance, someone is singing. In the distance, my soul is not satisfied that it has lost her. My sight searches for her as though to go to her. My heart looks for her, and she is not with me. The same night whitening the same trees. We, of that time, are no longer the same. I no longer love her. That is certain. But how I loved her. My voice tried to find the wind to touch her hearing. Another's. She will be another's. Like my kisses before, her voice, her bright body, her infinite eyes. I no longer love her, that is certain, but maybe I love her. Love is so short, and forgetting is so long, because through the nights like this one, I held her in my arms. My soul is not satisfied that it has lost her. So this may be the last pain she makes me suffer, and these are the last verses that I write for her.
Thank you, Matt. What appeals to you about that?
I really enjoy, I'm an English speaker, I don't really speak any other languages, but I love reading poems from other languages, because they always seem to have this, you know, this rhetoric, this language that you don't find in English poetry a lot, so.
Huh. What language was that?
Pablo Neruda was a Chilean poet. He won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1971 for that poem.
Wow, it sounded like English to me, though.
Well, yeah, it was a translation.
Gotcha. That was my little joke. Matt, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. We're going to take a short break. We will be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Quarry and fabrication used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires. AshfieldStone.com. Stewart Shops, we are close to you, a family and employee-owned business. St. Joseph School, Uptown Kingston, an Academy of Arts and Sciences, offering pre-K, elementary, and middle school placements for fall 2014. Daily tours of the historic Uptown campus, joyful learning, guided by faith, stjosephschoolkingston.com. And MySci, Museum of Innovation and Science, presenting butterflies through April 19th, April school break activities, and summer hands-on science classes for kids. MISCI.org.
And we are back. Thanks, Zach. Wonderful music. We're having fun. We're talking about poetry. What we're doing is having people call up and read some of their favorite poems, and a panel. You guys are Mary and Rebecca and Tom. If you guys have anything to say about any of these that have been read to us, then you just come right in and, you know, say, I think that was wonderful, or, boy, that really stunk. You know, something like that. Because
sounds good.
Will do.
Just feel free to do that. And a big shout out to, by the way, our resident poet, Paul Elisha, who's not with us today, but who we love and who we think of every time we read a poem. Okay, so John from Clifton Park. Okay, John, you're on.
Hi. This is John from Clifton Park. I'm privileged to have raised a gay son, and this is a poem called Bedecked by Victoria Reddell. Tell me it's wrong, the scarlet nails my son sports, or the toy store rings he clusters, four jewels to each finger. He's bedecked. I see the other mothers looking at the star choker, the rhinestone strand he fastens over a sock. Sometimes I help him find sparkle clip-ons when he says, sticker earrings look too fake. Tell me I should teach him it's wrong to love the glitter that a boy's only a boy who'd love a truck with a remote that revs, battery slamming into corners or Hot Wheels loop-de-looping off tracks into the tub. Then tell me it's fine, really. Maybe even a good thing, a boy who's got some girl to him. And I'm right for the days he wears a pink shirt on the seesaw in the park. Tell me what you need to tell me, but keep far away from my son, who still loves a beautiful thing, not for what it means, this way or that, but for the way facets set off prisms, and prisms spin up everywhere, and from his own jeweled body he's cast rainbows, made every shining true color. Now try to tell me, man or woman, your heart was ever once that brave.
A group, a panel, any comments?
That was beautiful.
Yeah, that was a beautiful piece.
Yeah, it came from that book, Poems That Make Grown Men Cry, which I just heard about on the radio.
Yep.
And I ran out and got it, and this was picked by Billy Collins as his pick of the book.
Well, John, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Very important poem. Thanks again.
Thanks for letting me.
Yeah, bye-bye. Okay, the telephone number here, somebody just hung up. That was a bad error. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, because one of the things I think poetry really teaches us is patience. Mm-hmm. You know, patience. You got to listen a little bit. You got to relate to the words.
Pay attention to it.
1-800-348-2551, Bruce from Ulster. Okay, Bruce from Ulster, you're on, your turn.
Okay. This is a poem by Lorca, Federico Garcia Lorca, the great Spanish poet playwright. Love, love, that here lies wounded, so wounded by love's going, so wounded, dying of love. Tell everyone it was just a nightingale. Surgeon's knife with four sharp edges. the bleeding throat, forgetfulness. Take me by the hands, my love, or I am... take me by the hands, my love, or I am dying of love. I think I messed up a little bit. I'm trying to do it from memory.
Oh,
especially from a play that Lorca wrote called The Love of Don Palimpsest and Belissa in the Garden. And like Shakespeare, sometimes you can take out a speech and it's poetry. It's pure poetry, even though it's part of a play.
Yeah, that's...
So
that's
I apologize.
No, don't apologize. It was great. It's panel. What about this concept of taking out a poem from a play?
I think, I mean, like you just said, I mean, there's certain speeches and there's certain dialogues that just lend themselves to have that poetic voice to them. And Shakespeare, you know, did that phenomenally well. And you could, you know, just take bits and pieces out and it stands on its own.
Is there any arguing about what a poem is? You know, we argue about everything. We argue about what a community is, what a definitional thing.
I think that's a never-ending battle.
Yeah, people argue about that all the time.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any specific feelings about what that is or what it isn't?
It's the academic, definitions of what poetry is. And then, you know, I tend to believe whatever you feel like your poem is. If you consider it a poem and it's telling your story and your voice, then that's poetry to me.
Mm-hmm. I think poetry's everywhere. I think every day you wake up and you look over at your child and you see the sunlight coming in the window and there's a poem there. You're at your breakfast table and a fork drops and you put your head down and slam it up on the table when you come up. Mm-hmm. That's a poem. So I think that there's poetry everywhere and there's no definition, and that's the beauty of it. And to me, that's something that I hope that people understand, that everyone lives in poetry. You know, it's there.
Yeah. Yes.
I agree. And I'm not a big fan of form, but there are people who are. And I think poetry gives you that freedom.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we're all sort of trained very early that it has to have, you know, rhymes and things like that. But then
and it doesn't.
When you grow up a little bit, you realize when you get to my age. Okay, that's good. Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it. Okay, and let's go to... did I just do something really bad and hang up on somebody? I think I may... No. Let's go to Bob in Amherst. Bob in Amherst, you're on.
Thank you. I don't want to read a poem. I just want to suggest that when people read poems, they should, in translation, they should identify the translator. So often the name of the translator is lost, and a translated poem is really a second poem created by the translator, influenced and inspired by the original. Mm. So it's really unfair to the translator not to mention him or her.
Interesting thought. Anybody have anything to say about that?
It makes sense. I mean, they are putting their own, to a certain extent, their own spin on it by translating it and picking the right...
A word could be crucial.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Bob from Amherst, thank you very much for that.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Kathleen in Clarksburg. Kathleen, you're on.
Hi. When I was a child, my grandfather was a fond person of memorizing poems, and to this day, I'm 45. I think that this is a great way of teaching children memorization and just being fond of literal things. And so this was the one poem that came to mind, but I can't find for the life of me who it was by. And it was, "One bright day in the middle of the night, two dead boys got up to fight. Back to back, they faced each other and drew their swords and shot each other. A deaf policeman heard the noise and ran to save the two dead boys. And if you don't believe this is true, go ask the blind man. He saw it too." Now, it seems very, very hard for a child to be digesting, but it wasn't for me when I was a little kid. And so I just think that this was a really great poem. And I don't know who the author is, but I think that memorizing poems are really a great way to teach children memorization. And in this day and age, it's really more difficult for kids to have that kind of strategy or, you know, having whatever.
No, I hear you. Anybody have any commentary on this particular poem?
I don't know who wrote that.
No idea.
I've never heard that one before.
But I can tell you, as somebody who sits before these microphones every once in a while and watches my language and what I say, that there's almost always somebody who can take offense at anything that is written. And in this case, you know, the deaf issue and the blind issue might annoy somebody. I don't know. What do you think about that, Kathleen?
Well, I think that just, I think that the poem was just kind of saying a deaf policeman heard the noise. It was just saying that, somebody who couldn't hear something heard some noise. I'm not quite sure. I guess somebody could always
take offense.
Sure. To it. I'm sorry about that.
No. I'm not calling you short. I'm just, just interested in whether or not poems, like every other kind of language, have the ability to raise sensitivities to particular issues.
They absolutely do. I've seen it.
Well, I just think that the poem itself, A Deaf Policeman Heard the Noise, it was very, it makes children think, well, the oppositions.
Hmm. You know what's interesting is that poetry, like everything else, obviously has one life when it's written, and that maybe later on it becomes something else. You know, there's a change in the way people perceive it.
And there's poems too that don't work well on the page being read off of a piece of paper, but if you hear the poet reading it or performing it, it takes on a whole different life.
Yeah, Mary?
I just think that's art in general. You know, it's the artist's perception, and then it's what other people take from it.
Yeah, but morality changes, and our sensibilities change.
Absolutely.
Right? And, you know, somebody... So in a time of real PC, for example, a poem that was thought to be cute earlier could be offensive, deemed to be offensive later.
But you have to take it in its historical content, too.
Yes.
Oh,
sure.
I see. When I was a child, I think that when I heard it from my grandfather, I thought, how in the world could a deaf policeman hear the noise? Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking to myself, you know, how interesting. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
And as a child, that's kind of how I grokked it.
Sure. Hey, Kathleen, that's a great contribution. We thank you so much for making it. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll go to Rick in Rosendale. Okay, Rick in Rosendale, you're on.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Okay, good. Yeah, I have a comment about the first poem, the E. Cummings poem. What was the title of that one? I Have Your Heart?
I Carry Your Heart With Me. I Carry,
carry Your
heart.
Heart, yes. I first heard that by a musician done as a set to music by Michael Hedges, the late guitarist who really created a whole new genre of guitar playing. And he just did such a wonderful job putting that poem to music that it just became a whole other thing, and I encourage anyone to look that one up.
Hey, you know, Rick, you make such a profound point. If you think about it, when does a poem which has been set to music become a song as opposed to a poem? Or is it always a poem, even though it's got music behind it?
Yeah, huh. I think you can look at it both ways.
Yeah, because I do. I write my poems, and I work with a musician, and he plays music behind me, but I would not consider my poems to be songs by any stretch of the imagination.
Isn't that interesting? Because I was thinking, and I think Pete Seeger, you know, my great hero, took a poem about lying, which I think was written by Lionel Trilling. I can't really swear to it, and made a fantastic song out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard to know. I mean, do any of you feel that you're purists sitting on the panel today who are offended? You people are too easy to please. I was hoping maybe we'd get a little fight going here, but apparently not.
I think songs, I teach high school, and, you know, rap music, I teach as poetry. I have the kids bring in their own lyrics, and we talk about them as poems. So I don't think there's, you know... I think you can really play a lot with music and incorporate, you know, poetry's in the music. And I think people can relate to it when it's music, but there's a fine line between, you know?
No. I mean, some of it is just so profoundly affects me, Paul Simon, some of the stuff that he's written, you know. Bridge Over Troubled Water, that was his, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah,
and that really gets me sort of every time, and it's
that's
beautiful,
such a great song.
Beautiful poetry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, listen, thank you, Rick from Rosendale. Good luck down there. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Bruce in Leverett. Okay, Bruce, you're on.
Hello, thank you. Interesting that you were talking about turning poetry into songs, because the one I had chosen, I have a Dylan Thomas here and a Walt Whitman and things like that, but I think this is one of the more poetic songs I've heard. I just want to read the lyrics, if I could, to Bruce Springsteen's Thunder Road.
Now, that is such an interesting idea, that you just read the lyrics mm-hmm. and then you're not confused by the music in the background, or it becomes a different thing. But go ahead, Bruce. This is
okay.
Great.
It's long, so I'm just going to read the first two verses, and I actually think the music kind of changes.
Yeah,
it goes down. But anyway.
Yeah, long is not always great for
okay,
us.
Okay, I'm not
yeah.
reading the whole thing, just
okay.
the first two verses. The screen door slams, Mary's dress waves. Like a vision, she dances across the porch as the radio plays. Roy Orbison singing for the lonely, hey, that's me, and I want you only. Don't turn me home again, I just can't face myself alone again. Don't run back inside, you know just what I'm here for. So you're scared and you're thinking that maybe we ain't that young anymore. Show a little faith, there's magic in the night. You ain't a beauty, but hey, you're all right, and that's all right with me. You can hide neath your covers and study your pain, make crosses from your lovers, throw roses in the rain, waste your summer praying in vain for a savior to rise from these streets. Now I'm no hero, that's understood. All the redemption I can offer is beneath this dirty hood. With a chance to make it good somehow, what else can we do now except roll down the window and let the wind blow back your hair? The night's busting open, these two lanes will take us anywhere. We got one last chance to make it real, to trade in these wings on some wheels. Climbing back, heaven's waiting down on the tracks. Oh, come take my hand, we're riding out tonight to case the promised land. Oh, Thunder Road, lying out there like a killer in the sun. I know it's late, we can make it if we run. Oh, Thunder Road, sit tight, take hold, Thunder Road.
So, nice. What did you love about it?
Well, I love melody, first of all, but I think that just there's an imagery in this that is pretty remarkable for a guy who was, I think, 22 and, you know, has his old background of being a rock and roll star. And, you know, the screen door slams, the dress waves, and his take on her beauty. She's not beautiful, but she's okay. We are getting older, but we have to go and celebrate. And, you know, everybody knows Springsteen for Born to Run, but frankly, this is the song.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
And when you take the music out of it, you can really pay attention more to the words.
Absolutely.
And it makes it a much more powerful piece, you know, when you don't have that background music and, you know, you're completely focused on what he's writing about, what he's talking about.
Yeah. Mary, Rebecca, anybody? No? You're done? Okay, listen, thank you very much, Bruce from Leverett. We appreciate that call, and I think you made a real contribution here. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to... we're going to take a break. And that'll leave us time to come back and to hear from Layla and Rosabelle and from Greg and from anybody else who wants to join us. Read us a short poem that you really love.
Support for WAMC comes from Woodstock Farm Animal Sanctuary. rescuing, sheltering, and advocating for farm animals since 2004, open for weekend tours and visits with over 300 rescued cows, chickens, pigs, goats, and more, woodstocksanctuary.org. Smith College Museum of Art, presenting The Eye is a Door, landscape photographs by Ann Whiston Spurn, now on view. Exhibition-related programs and more, smith.edu/artmuseum for details. The Beechwood Group of Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, serving not-for-profits and individual investors, Mary McDonald, Financial Advisor, and Joseph Steiniger, CFP, Financial Advisor, thebeechwoodgroup.com. And Saratoga Bridges, Ballston Spa, New York, a community resource for people with disabilities and their families, supported employment, day services, and more, saratogabridges.org.
So we're waiting on you guys, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Layla in Tremper. Okay, Layla, is it Mount Tremper?
What a gorgeous thing to do on a spring day like this, my
Absolutely.
Gosh.
Absolutely.
With all of the flowers blooming and the temperature in the 70s and the bees. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, so this is a poem that I love by E.E. Cummings, and it always evokes my parents' marriage. If there are any heavens, my mother will all by herself have one. It will not be a pansy heaven, nor a fragile heaven of lilies of the valley, but it will be a heaven of black red roses. My father will be deep like a rose, tall like a rose, standing near my, swaying over her silent, with eyes which are really petals and see nothing, with the face of a poet really, which is a flower and not a face, with hands which whisper, this is my beloved. My, suddenly in sunlight, he will bow, and all the whole garden will bow.
That was beautiful.
Can you tell us a little about your reaction to it?
It chokes me up.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody? Anybody? No? Nobody?
I was just reading the email that came in.
You don't have to do that. That's why I'm here. Eric said, poetry and music are related. Both usually incorporate rhythm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and thank you, Thomas, for handing me that. And let's go to, let's see, what was that? Layla, you still on the phone?
I am.
Okay. So I just want to say goodbye. Okay?
Goodbye.
Thank you, Layla.
Okay. And let's go to Rose. Whoa. And now let's go to Rosabelle in Woodstock. Okay, Rosabelle. Oh, I think, yeah.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
How old are you?
I'm 8 years old.
Yay. Wonderful.
So
what do you want to read us?
I'm going to read you a nice spring poem.
All right.
There piped a piper in the woods, strange music, soft and sweet. And all the little wild things came hurrying to her feet. They sat around her on the grass, enchanted, unafraid, and listened as with shining eyes sweet melody she made. The wood grew green and flowers sprang up. The birds began to sing. For the music, it was magic. And the piper's name was Spring.
Perfect.
Thank you so much. Best poem of the day.
What about that poem, Rosabelle, speaks to you? What do you like about it?
Well, it makes me feel very spring-like because there's a little bit of snow on the ground.
Indeed.
Right. This is true.
And if you go outside, what does that do to your sense of the poem? In other words, it's cold out there.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I like to see the nice spring flowers.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm. Okay. Rosabelle, that was beautiful.
That was. And your name is beautiful too, Rosabelle. That's a beautiful name. Thank you so much for calling us. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So long.
All right. We have time for you guys. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Still got time for a few more. Let's go to Greg from Ghent. And Ghent is one of the places where...
Hello?
Greg, we're just talking about the poetry in Ghent. Ghent is one of those places which brings up a very famous poem. But go ahead.
Yes. I decided to read a poem by Bayard Sevag, a translation of his.
Do you know who did the translation?
The translation was done by Anahid Yahjan.
Of course. Okay, go ahead.
Originally written in Armenian.
All right, go right ahead.
So the poem is called, And There Are People and People. There are people who have climbed onto the world's back. There are people who carry the world on their back. You, who has been mistaken but has not lied, thus lost often but found again. You, who has stumbled and fallen. You have fallen, yet never onto your knees, and instead climbed from peak to peak. You've risen endlessly, you've risen up, taken wings from your mighty age. You've risen to see the living world, to see your unparalleled age, to feel it in every way, to laugh with your winnings, mourn your losses. You've come as its messenger, so you'll feel close what it keeps far away. So you'll see the shores of truth, to see the cheat of an unuttered lie. So you won't fear, so you won't doubt, won't mark the face of injustice. Alas, why you, all these years, you who are the native son of this age, you are walking ceaselessly, moving forward. You are walking heavy and mightily. You could say you've taken the world onto your back. There are people and people.
Panel?
That's beautiful.
Very nice. I found that a little too complicated for my level. I mean, I didn't really understand all of it.
It was originally in Armenian, you said?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. But, and how did you find it? Are you Armenian?
I am Armenian. I found it when I was living there. He's a modern poet who has regained quite a bit of popularity in the country. And the translation was done by a friend of mine, actually.
Wow. Well, Greg, thank you for sharing it with us. Appreciate it very
much. Thank you so much for having this event. It's such a treat to hear poetry shared like this. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Let's go to Richard in Cold Spring. Richard in Cold Spring, you're there.
Hello, Alan. How are you?
Well, you know, every day brings another opportunity or so.
That's great. I wanted to do a poem. It's very short, just a segment of a poem in German and then the English version. It's only a couple of lines, but
It's
a piece from Mahler that he took from a poet from the 8th century called Li Tai Po. It's the drinking song of Earth's misery, which is Das Trinklied von Jammer der Erde. It starts off, Das Firmament blatt ewig, und die Erde wird lange verstehen und aufblühen im Netz. Du aber, Mensch, wie lang lebst denn du? And the English is, the heavens are blue forever, and the earth will long stand firm and bloom in spring. But man, how long will you live?
I like the springtime poems that are coming out.
Yeah, a lot of springtime poems. Actually, yeah. I prefer the German version.
I like both. It's nice to hear them.
Thank you, Rich. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Let's go to Dan.
So did he do the translation?
No, I don't know. I didn't. Yeah, he probably did it. Dan from Rhinebeck. Okay, go.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you?
Well, okay.
Okay, good. This is a very short poem, so I'll be short and sweet. One I wrote for my father when I was very young, my first poem ever, says, when I was a child and I followed your footsteps in the snow, I often wondered when would I grow. When I was a teen, I questioned your word. We shouted so loud that the love wasn't heard. Now I'm a man, 6 foot and more, still not quite sure what the world has in store. And here stands your son, now as a man. Take pride in the fact it was done by your hand. With love in my heart and respect on my tongue, for you are my father and I am your son.
Was your father alive to hear it?
I read it to him on his 65th birthday.
And what did he think? What did he think about this tremendous gift?
It was the first time that he cried. We had a very tumultuous relationship, so that was my my outreach, my therapy to kind of reach out to my rather strict and stern father.
That's great.
I love it. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Right. I love things between parents and children. That's great. Let's go to Mark in New Paltz. Mark.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for my favorite hour of the month on the station.
Great.
Thank you.
I'd like to read a poem called The Trees by Philip Larkin, kind of continuing with the theme of spring here. The trees are coming into leaf, like something almost being said. The recent buds relax and spread. Their greenness is a kind of grief. Is it that they are born again and we grow old? No, they die too. Their yearly trick of looking new is written down in rings of grain. Yet still the unresting tassels thresh in full-grown thickness every May. Last year is dead, they seem to say. Begin afresh, afresh, afresh.
Absolutely. Once the snow melts again, we'll be able to begin afresh, afresh,
well,
afresh.
You know, but I've thought of exactly that 100 times, but you know, we all can think of things, but the ability to put them into poetry, I think, is what's special.
It's, yeah, definitely. And then when, you know, in hearing other, in reading other poets, it's amazing. You look back and as a fan, like, how did you come up with those words? How did you come up with, you know, that way to say it? You know, it's incredible.
Rebecca, you're nodding your head very vigorously.
I just think sometimes something that sounds so simple, it's so beautiful, and it's you kick yourself, like, why didn't I write that, or why didn't I think about that?
Mm-hmm.
And just a few words can really change a poem.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, gang, thank you for that. It was wonderful. Let's go to Ralph and Amherst. Oh, whoa. Ralph and Amherst, are you there?
Yes, hello, Alan.
Hello.
I'd like to read a poem from the book, The Cloud That Contained the Lightning, by Cynthia Lowen.
Is it long or short?
Fairly short.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
Oppenheimer admires the Prince of Hokusai. Always a great wave overcoming the miniature people. Each face bears the same expectation. Mount Fuji will wait forever for the seekers of high ground. They meet the waves in boats, assuming Mount Fuji will drown. The wave you intended broods above. The blue wave. Sometimes the sign for warning escapes us. Each lie contains two types of secrets. The first is kept from others. The second is kept from oneself. Both waves will break over the miniature people. Okay.
Nice.
Comment, panel? Yep.
Where did you first hear that piece? What made you fall in love with it?
Actually, it's my daughter's book.
Oh.
But Oppenheimer played a big part in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that was nice.
My father worked on the bomb.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ralph, thank you for sharing that. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
And we'll go to Justin in Hudson, one of my favorite towns. Justin, you're on. And by the way...
Hello. How are you guys?
Yeah, go ahead.
This goes out to Rosabelle. I just love hearing that little girl read that poem.
That was great.
That was amazing.
Oh, that was fantastic. God bless you, Rosabelle. But you made me think of Lewis Carroll and Jabberwocky, and that's what I want to read today.
Okay.
All right.
'Twas brillig, and the slithy-toed gear and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub bird, and shun the frumious Bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, long time the maxim foe he sought. So rested he by the Tum-Tum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in uffish thought he stood, the Jabberwock, with eyes aflame, came whiffling through the tugly wood, and burbled as it came. 1-2, 1-2, and through the vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead, and with its head he went galumphing back. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy. Oh, frab just stay, Callooh, Callay, he chortled in his joy. 'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gear and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe.
Nice.
Anybody?
That is one of my favorite poems.
Ladies?
I love that one.
It was nice to hear it read. I haven't heard it read in a while, actually.
Yeah, one of the students of the workshop series that me and another local poet run with some 7th and 8th graders here in Albany, one of the students was reading that a couple months ago. It was fun to hear. Thanks for sharing that.
How come you chose it, Justin?
I originally wanted to read something by Charles Bukowski, but hearing Little Rosabelle's voice just made me think of that poem, and I had to go and find it.
Terrific.
It really was. She just inspired me to read it.
Thank you, Justin.
Yep, have a good day, guys, and love your program.
Thanks. Polar opposite to Charles Bukowski.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go to Christina in Lenoxdale. Okay, Christina, you're on.
Hi. This is wonderful that you're doing this.
Thank you.
I have a very short poem by Stephen Crane, who's better known as the author of Red Badge of Courage.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Wayfarer. The wayfarer, perceiving the pathway to truth, was struck with astonishment. It was thickly grown with weeds. "Ha," he said, "I see that none has passed here in a long time." Later, he saw that each weed was a singular knife. "Well," he mumbled at last, "doubtless there are other roads."
Nice.
What do you love about it?
Well, I originally fell in love with it when I was a very cynical young person. And I've continued to love it because it makes me laugh a little at the hypocrisy of self-righteous types. And I think it's very clear, very succinctly put.
Do you think poets tend to take themselves too seriously as a class?
Oh, not at all.
No.
Yes, absolutely.
And we're sarcastic, too.
If anything, they poke pins into the rest of us who take ourselves seriously.
Well, Christina, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We probably have time to take one more call. I want to take a chance here. I'm going to take a chance without knowing who it is. I'm going to press the button. Okay, right. Who's there?
Hi, this is Fred calling from Aware, Massachusetts.
Okay, Aware? Aware?
That's right.
No, Aware? Go ahead.
Okay, this is from, it's from a songwriter, but she's also a poet named Claudia Schmidt, one of my favorite singer-songwriters and poets. This is from an album from probably 20 years ago called Out of the Dark, and it's called Replenish. And she combines it with a song by, Bruce Coburn. It goes from song to poem back to song again, and it goes like this. We go on, we go on, canoe under the hot sun. The upturned paddles guide liquid to our dry mouths. Water within us, water surrounds us. A great mystery, are we coming dry at all? Replenish, replenish, all must be replenished. The water within and without. All that fills, all that surrounds us. The great whistling pines, the tenacious beaver, the ancient loon. The rush of the young eagle's wing as it dips low over our canoe. Replenish, the eyes bathed in this delicate solitude. The trembling eternity called back in mid-sweep, only to be assessed by green parched eyes. Replenish each shriveled heart with its, which has its moments only at event and only at events set aside for its song, but cannot fly for the connection between the rock and the human body, the heron's wing and the hope in our souls. We go on, we go on. Our paddles dance with the lake water to the music in our throats. We will grow dry again, perhaps leap into the water, a small and symbolic celebration of a great and endless task, which gracefully undertaken might allow us to go on and on and on.
Fred, thank you. I'm so sorry for interrupting, but I have to tell you we're sort of out of time here.
Well, that's fine. That's the end of the poem.
That's great. And I appreciate your call. I think it's wonderful that you made it. And I just want to take a few seconds now to say underwriting support for the Vox Pop comes from Pioneer Post and Beam, a non-kit post and beam builder in Belchertown, Massachusetts, designing and erecting customized barns and artist studios, garages, and additions. PioneerPostAndBeam.com. Pure Catskills, supporting local farm, food, and wood businesses. Clean water and working landscape throughout the Catskills region. PureCatskills.com. Spot Coffee, Saratoga Springs, New York. A community-oriented community-oriented cafe featuring fresh roasted coffee, baked goods, soup, salads, pizza, and more. SpotCoffee.com. And Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. Elements HotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. A very special thank you to our wonderful poets, Tom Francis, Rebecca Shumeja, and Mary Panza. The phones were answered. The phones were answered by Ryan, who is a great friend of the station. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall, who has head writing issues. And I'm Alan Chartak. Make sure now to take WAMC with you. Download our new mobile app for streaming audio, headlines, podcasts, and more. Just go to iTunes or Google Play App Store. Search WAMC and install. It's a great thing. I listen all the time. The old one stunk, but the new one is great. Be here with us. And we look forward to having you with us all the time. Thanks. Bye.